Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from our Game 4 watch party at Kirby Ice House, just off Richmond, Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show. Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
Mills takes the snap, looking, pumping, stepping out to the right. Mills fires to the right sideline and caught by Chris Moore at the 40, 35, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, rock and roll! Touchdown, Houston! 67 yards, my goodness!
Davis Mills had an absolute huge day on Sunday. Unfortunately, did not get the win. And look, the good thing about it, I just told Tyler to pull me a highlight from Davis Mills, and he gave us the old Chris Moore touchdown. And Chris Moore, the latest news from the Texans, breaking news that Tyler just brought us, is that he has been reverted back to the roster. I don't know if reverted is back to the right questions, but he's been added back to the roster after being – I guess put back on the practice squad yesterday. So he's flip-flopping back and forth, but the one that caught that touchdown right there is back on the roster, and clearly he's got a connection with Davis Mills. He had five catches, and that was the highlight of the day for Chris Moore, really for the Texans in that touchdown. So I think here's the deal with Davis Mills, right? Is obviously we've seen highs and we've seen lows. And what Davis Mills has to do is he has to manage the lows, right? Is we saw a five interception day when he was given the first team reps in training camp. That was obviously a low. We saw him come back in preseason games and really play well, to where you kind of piqued your interest of, okay, I need to see more of this kid. And then the last week of training camp against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he got the bulk of the snaps. And again, he really, really struggled against that Super Bowl, defending Super Bowl champion defense, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then Tyrod Taylor goes down week two at halftime, and he's thrown to the wolves a little earlier than I think most people were comfortable with.
Yeah.
And again, in the small sample size of 2.5 games, we've seen really bad and we've seen really good. Most recently, we've seen really, really good from Davis Mills. And it is absolutely paramount for him to stay on the field this week, that he builds on the performance versus the New England Patriots when they see the Indianapolis Colts this coming week. He doesn't have to be as good as he was, because, look, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, there's, when you look at these stats combined, 300 passing yards, three touchdowns, 140 passer rating, Davis Mills is the first rookie in NFL history to post these numbers in a single game. I mean, that is absolutely through the roof. So he doesn't have to do that, Joe, but
no.
I think it's, if Davis Mills wants to remain the Texans quarterback and keep that conversation alive of him getting reps, him getting experience, him getting evaluated this year, I think he's got to build on that this week versus Indy in a big way.
I still think at this moment right now, that Tyrod Taylor should still be the starter. But after his performance Sunday, and I cannot
made
believe
you check up, huh?
Well, I can't believe I'm saying it after how awful, and I mean awful, not just him, but just how awful the offense looked. It looked like nobody was developing, not just him.
Right.
Nobody. It looked like you weren't able to evaluate anybody. And something needed to change. And then what we had seen before was you were able to evaluate people. You were able to see things when Tyrod Taylor was there. But his performance Sunday against the Patriots at least made it a conversation.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a conversation. Hell, I know last week we were sitting there like, what? Hold on, man. That's over. He's not going to come back. Because what I expect him to improve, but I expected to see closer to the Panther game. not this.
Well, yeah, yeah, no, yeah, no, I think nobody expected this. But the truth of the matter, and show I've said this multiple times, is, man, when you're that performance against Buffalo, it was so bad it was no longer about Davis Mills and Terod Taylor.
Yeah.
It's one of those where you go, I mean, they're on the verge of proving that they are an expansion team, that they are the worst team in I mean, you know, since they've been in the league. I mean, this is the wheels were not only coming off, the dumpster fire sparked back up and was burning and was a raging fire again. And you want, when you're rebuilding, you want to slowly, gradually, you know, climb out of that. They had gone backwards in a big way. And so, you know, I think the performance was huge. He's got to build on it this week. The good thing is we saw the Texans' next opponent last night. We saw the Indianapolis Colts last night. And while, look, Lamar Jackson absolutely balled out. I mean, absolutely balled out. He was 37 of 43 for 442 yards, four touchdowns. And when I say 37 of 43, 442 yards, that's his passing numbers. Okay, and that's really all I'm worried about at this point in time. We saw the Colts last night, and we saw Lamar Jackson absolutely shred them through the air. This is a game coming up next weekend where you've got to expect the Texans to, again, they don't have to shred to the tune of 442 yards in the pass game, but they do have to go out there and put a respectable performance up offensively, show. After we watched what Lamar Jackson and Baltimore did last night through the air, because remember, Baltimore is predominantly a run football
team.
I mean, they went out there and put an absolute clinic on throwing the football last week. So if Davis Mills, Tim Kelly and company, if they can't go out there next week and put a respectable...
Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
All right, Tyler, this better be good. What is the breaking news here that you have, Tyler?
All right, fellas, this is coming from Aaron Walsh of ESPN. Houston Texans defensive back Lonnie Johnson Jr. is reportedly a candidate to be moved before the November 2nd trade deadline. The Texans have received interest in Johnson before the season, and while they believe he's valuable, the franchise could look to unload him because it has three safeties for just two available spots. That's according to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler.
Well, we now know what Lonnie Johnson's tweets were all about at this point in time. Clearly, his agent probably informed him that they were trying to move him. It's no surprise that he's on the trade block. No surprise that word on the street is that the team's trying to move him. Look, I think there's an absolute fire sale going on.
This is the second time his name has been brought up.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that he's on the trade block at all. I think Charles Omenihu is going to be in the news. I think Zach Cunningham's going to be in the news. No question about it, Zach. I mean, no question about it. Lonnie Johnson is now, we know with the breaking news, is on the block and rumored to be involved in trade conversations. Look, this is one of those deals. Lonnie needs to chill out, man. Like, Lonnie needs to get off of Twitter and chill out. Like, this is he's out there every time they give him playing time, he's making himself money. He's absolutely balling every time he's on the field. And I don't know what the snap count looks like. I don't know what the grade is plus minus, but the dude is constantly, in terms of a stat-driven position, and on the defensive side of the football, if you're a defensive back and you get interceptions, that is stat-driven and that is cha-ching, that's making money.
He had one, hey, should have had two last week.
If the Texans want to move you, so be it, man. Stay off of Twitter and don't make the situation worse than it is. This is not surprising news that he's rumored to be involved in trade conversations. It's more surprising that obviously he knows because he's been tweeting cryptic tweets for the last couple of days.
Yeah, that's according to Jeremy Fowler saying that he could be out of here. Wow.
That's Ron the Show Ugly. I'm Clint Sterner. That's Tyler Miller back in the studio that you hear with that breaking news. We'll chop up that Lonnie Johnson rumor that he's involved in trade talks at this point in time. Or that's not if it's a rumor, maybe report, whatever you want to call it. We'll chop that up moving forward. But show the Astros are in game four of the ALDS in Chicago. They're up 6-1 on the Chicago White Sox. And Phil Maton is currently on the mound, two outs with a 2-2 count on Jimenez. And, look, here's the story of this game. The Astros knocked Carlos Rodon off the mound. Now, he was on a pitch count more than likely. He was more than likely coming out. But let's don't fool ourselves. The Astros knocked him off the mound. And the fact that it was Carlos – I feel sexy in these moments. Correa was absolutely big. That's going to be all over the news tonight. That's right. We know, Loesch. You don't need to keep telling us. Hell, we know that that's going to be all over the news tonight if the Astros lock this series up in impressive fashion as we move forward here.
No, it's big, and he's the guy that you want at the plate when you need something to happen. He has come through time and time again in big moments, and he did it again. That's the big hit of the game. You're down. It was feeling weird. They hit a home run. This place is going crazy. They're leading 1-0 and two outs, and he chases Carlos Rodon. And that's a big deal because this dude locked this team up. Every time they've seen him, he has been a problem, and he was becoming a problem to start this game. We kept hearing about his velocity being down. No, it was not down. He was throwing 99, and Loesch ran him. And that, to me, I think may be the backbreaker for the White Sox.
Yeah, look, it appears to be. We still have a lot of baseball left to be played, but it appears to be. And what I love about it is in the break, Tyler had some audio up, and the announcers are talking about the air has come out of the building in Chicago. The fans are all seated. There's no energy in the building right now. And that's there's not a better feeling, show as an athlete. It don't matter at what level. We've all been there. When you go into the place, they're all standing there loud as hell. And because you have put them to bed, they're all quiet. They're all silent. Half of them are leaving. There's not a better feeling in sports than that right there.
It isn't. And I know you've done it. I've done it at the high school level, but I know you've done it. And it is. And this is a team, Clint, that loves it. Like Loesch and company, Maldonado, those guys, they love it.
Do we get it? You think we get a Loesch comment after the game about Tapera's comments?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
If you don't know the facts,
like he faced him.
Then you got to chill.
He faced him, and I just wanted something so bad to happen.
Yeah.
Like I just ooh. I mean, there are people around this country so mad. God, they want to see the Astros.
Bad. We talked about it when this sign stealing scandal thing busted. When it popped, all the evidence, if you will, came out. Is like, I just I know the Astros are going to have to catch the brunt of it in terms of comments like that silly pitcher from Chicago White Sox. But I think the Astros doubled their fan base. I mean, people outside of Houston, I think there's a lot of people that want to root for the Astros now.
The bad boys.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's no cut. And then the hate for you nationally in Major League Baseball, I think, grew tremendously. So, look, I hate to say it, but the sign-stealing scandal, the fallout afterwards, it's going to benefit Jim Crane's pocketbook for damn sure.
We'll see what he's got to say. They've scored 6 runs in back-to-back games on the road, too. So we'll see.
12 runs in 2 games in your stadium. It's hard to think that they're doing something different on the road than they are at home.
Yeah, it is.
Or vice versa.
All right, the Astros look to try to get home field advantage coming up in the ALCS as they would host the Red Sox, but still a lot to go here as they are in the top of the 7th. Clint, make sure you all are listening tomorrow, 7:30 Wednesday morning. Tomorrow morning, Nick Caserio will join Payne and Pendergast exclusively right here on Sports Radio 610. There's a lot of questions, I'm sure, that people want to know, and Seth and Sean will handle that as well as they always do. So make sure you're listening tomorrow, 7:30. Nick Caserio, the general manager, will be on with Payne and Pendergast. Today was supposed to be a defining moment for Lance McCullers, but then Dusty Baker came in and just had a gut feeling, it seems like. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from our Game 4 watch party at Kirby Ice House, just off Richmond, Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Jordan Alvarez and a couple of inherited runners scored. Brantley with a base hit against the left-hander. Around third, McCormick, he will score to add some insurance for the Astros here in the sixth. It's 6-1.
Two-out RBI with runner in scoring position. Adam. Again. Another one.
All right, that is the latest. Michael Brantley stepping up in a big way to add tack on runs. That's what you do when you get a lead. Just keep tacking on runs, and the Astros lead 6-1 here in the seventh, and they've got an opportunity to tack on more runs right now as they look forward to hosting the American League Championship Series. We're here live at Kirby Ice House. Eastside, come on out here. If you're still just now getting off work, come stop by. Plenty of beer, plenty of TVs to check out, and we're having a real good time. Is this going to be celebration time, hopefully, coming up in the next couple of innings. Clint, today, though, was we kicked off the show about this is a defining moment for Lance McCullers. This is a big game. Dusty Baker moved him up because he said, all right, got the rain out. I got a chance to pitch my ace. And I'm going to move him up. He did it. He was facing Carlos Rodon. Now, like Dusty said yesterday, we didn't know which Carlos Rodon you're going to see. It was very clear early he had his good stuff. And obviously today, Lance McCullers was the better pitcher between the two thus far.
Yeah, he was definitely the better pitcher. Now, I mean, obviously Rodon coming off of some injuries and some issues. I think he was his performance today, or his appearance today, was going to be short-lived anyway you slice it. And so I think Lance McCullers had the upper hand there, but he definitely outperformed in a day. He put the Astros in a position, where they got the lead while he was in there, and he held them down as long as he could. Now, the interesting thing is, Buzzkill Dusty, my man Dusty Baker, he decided it'd be a good idea to pull Lance McCullers and not only pull him, but put my man Yimmy Garcia in there, who for once Yimmy did a good job and shut down the White Sox in the one inning that he got.
Yeah, I've been wrestling with that since we saw that decision.
Yeah.
And I got to believe this was not Dusty all on his own. That decision, it almost seems like a decision that maybe have been made pre-planned. That before the game, this is a scenario that we're going to do by maybe looking at the numbers or something, saying, all right, we don't want him to face the third time around the order again.
Sure.
Even though he just did it Thursday's game.
Yeah, but I mean, it would have been, yeah, I mean, it would in less than 5 days, they'd have seen him how many times through the lineup. Six times?
Six, seven times.
I mean,
times
some of those guys. So maybe that weighed-in show, maybe it's you feel like you got a lead, call it overconfidence if you will, but you want to be able to pitch McCullers in game one or game two of the next series, and so you want – you know, you want him to be able to go twice in the next series. So
and that's a logical.
That'd be aggressive. It'd be a ballsy call.
It's aggressive, but it feels like it had to be something that was pre-designed, predetermined. Like this was a pre-planned thing that they were going to do because there was nothing in the game that said take Lance out. The last thing he did, he just struck out somebody 95 heat.
If it were predetermined, there better have been a bunch of ifs in there. If that was a one-to-one ball game or a game where you were losing by one or winning by one and you put Yimi Garcia out there, Dusty's trying to get fired after the game.
That's the part about it.
I mean, the
Yimi decision is the one. But, like, I think it all is numbers. Like, Yimi's numbers against these guys. I mean, he's pitched about three times in this series. Like, Yimi's numbers, Yimi's stuff is
he's pitched batting practice two of the three times. I mean, let's be honest. He's made three appearances. Two of them were batting practice, and one of them was a nice little outing here.
Nice little outing, and it looks like they've had a plan. They've gone for McCullers for four. Then they went Yimi, and everyone in here was sitting here with their fingers crossed, except for Clint. And by the end of it, Clint was already turned to, you know what, I might give her another chance.
I was shooting a text to her before the sunlight went down instead of 2 a.m. Hey, you getting out tonight?
You getting out? Oh, man, God, you look nice. I like that outfit.
I know you're going to look good what you're wearing.
Hey, I didn't know you was going to do that to your hair.
Yeah, it's how quick it turns, man. Yimi had a good outing, though. I tell you what, that was a ballsy decision by Dusty, though, man. I mean – Whether you talk about how ballsy it was just pull Lance out or the ballsy aspect of it to put Yimi in, that was here's the deal. That's one of the decisions where Dusty's gonna sit up there in that post game press conference, boss. Dusty's gonna sit up there in that post game press conference and pimp that decision.
Oh yeah, he does.
Ain't no doubt.
Yeah, hey, we've seen him do it. We've seen him do it.
Y'all relax. Yeah, y'all relax, man. I knew what I was doing the whole time.
The whole time.
Now we're going to have Lance game one next week.
I honestly believe this is him.
Oh, man.
This is him, James Click, coming together with the decision of, all right, this is what we're going to do. Because they've gone four for Lance, one for Yimi. Now Phil Maton has pitched the sixth, and now he's starting the seventh again. I'm surprised Stanek is not here, but I don't know what the game plan is. But they've got a game plan, and come hell or high water, they're going to stick to it. And because, like I said, there was nothing. Like, you could see, boy, Lance is really struggling in the fourth to get to the end. No, man, he's at 73 pitches, which in four innings for Lance, Lance has done that in three.
Yeah.
You know, he's at 73 pitches, and, I mean, he's just struck out the last guy to get out to end the inning. So that to me, I hope Chandler Rome seems like the guy that may do it. Maybe our own B. Scott or Adam Spolane will too.
Hey.
But to ask Dusty, was this predetermined? Was this the game plan walking in to have your pitchers lined up this way?
Well, either way it goes, if Dusty puts the White Sox to bed today, you ain't going to be able to piss him off in that post-game presser.
No, you ain't going to get him. Yeah, Chandler, now why are you asking all these questions, Chandler? All these damn questions.
Oh, he'll be happy to see Chandler after this game.
Yeah, Clint Sterner, Ron, the show Hughley here at Kirby Ice House. Man, what did you think about Lamar Jackson last night? That I think you could argue was the best we've ever seen him play quarterback in his career. And Clint, this is a guy who won unanimous MVP a couple of years ago. That may have been the best performance ever seen by Lamar Jackson last night.
Oh, I think it was. It's the best I've ever seen. I mean, I'm probably overly critical of these athletic quarterbacks today in a sense of I think a lot of it is hard to game plan around. A lot of it is hard to bank on. A lot of it is, quite frankly, it's just not sustainable. Over an extended period of time, it's just not sustainable, whether it's injury or how much of the game has to be won off script. It's just not sustainable when you get up against teams like Tampa Bay and that just stay on script and are really good all the time. It's just not sustainable. But I tell you, what I saw last night from Lamar Jackson was we need to put to bed the conversation or the comments about Lamar Jackson, the athlete. He still is an athlete, no doubt about it. He's special. But when we talk about Lamar Jackson from now on, we need to make sure that we're talking about the guy that we saw play on Monday Night Football. I mean, I saw him, and I'll put it to you very, very easily for everybody to understand. When we're evaluating quarterbacks, quit getting enamored with the deep ball, right? Quit getting enamored with the athletic ability to do things outside the pocket and go make plays and get first downs and run 40 yards down the field, okay? That's all sexy. It's fun. Let's have a beer, talk about it, watch it, enjoy it. But when you're evaluating quarterbacks, it's about one thing, especially at the NFL level, their mid-range pass game. Do they understand how to anticipate? Do they understand how to process coverages and zone blitzes? And do they understand timing and rhythm? I know this is more of a concept game right now where quarterbacks are in gun, taking the snap and just getting on a platform and standing there watching things happen. But ultimately, it boils down to guys that understand how to anticipate, how to stay in rhythm, how to stay on time. And what we watched last night with Lamar Jackson, it was special. It was absolutely special.
I didn't know he was capable of it. Clint, 37 of 43. I mean, he missed six balls. He threw it 43 times, only six of them were incomplete.
But show the difference. Here's the deal: like, was he capable to do that one time? Maybe, right? Because he's such an unbelievable athlete. Show his athletic ability can dictate coverage.
Yeah,
and that's why I've always been hesitant, because if you understand, like, they're playing certain coverages because of his athletic ability, and if he's not making all these wild plays, then they're going to be handcuffed. Last night, they weren't playing coverages based off of his athletic ability. They were dropping into zone coverages, playing bend, don't break. He was throwing into six- and seven-man zone coverages. He was hitting windows. He was anticipating. He was unbelievably accurate. I mean, the things he did last night, particularly in the second half, there's no arguing. It's the things that Brady has done great forever and makes him the best ever. It's the things that the Hall of Fame Drew Breeses of the world have done and made them great. He was doing it last night in the second half, and he did it to the tune. I don't know exactly what the numbers were, but the
37 for 43, 442, yeah, four touchdowns,
but,
and zero.
But in the second half, he threw for 300+ yards, the completion percentage was ridiculous, right? So his second half in particular was the one where you go, okay, what I just watched was absolutely surgical. I don't know that you could ever refer to Lamar Jackson as surgical until last night. For me personally, I don't tell anybody else how to view it, but for me, I could never even shake my mouth to say that he was until last night. That was surgical. That was impressive. It was over and over and over and over again, and I'm buying it.
Jim Crane is having a good day, and Jim Crane is having a bad day. Maybe a bad day for his pockets if he's serious about it. We'll discuss that coming up next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Live from our Game 4 watch party at Kirby Ice House, just off Richmond, Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Nine in a row had been sent down by Astros pitching, all eight from the bullpen, until that base hit from Cesar Hernandez. Stanek coming into the game for the Astros here in the seventh.
And that's where we are, Clint. Ryan Stanek, as we said, it looks like they're going to try to go Stanek, Graveman, Presley. Ryan Stanek is called in to get one out. Phil Maton pitched pretty well, pitched the entirety of the sixth, got that out, and then got two outs here in the seventh. And here comes Stanek to face a guy that we said is the key to the series, Tim Anderson. And Stanek comes in. Your Arkansas Razorback does his job, and he gets Tim Anderson, who, Clint, we talked about was the key in the last game that the White Sox won. He had three hits and was on base all night, scored multiple runs. This game, I don't believe he's been on base yet, and no hits. Ryan Stanek, the Astros are through seven now. through seven. They head to the eighth with a 6-1 lead. And I think it's got to be getting nervous time out there in Chicago.
Yeah, like you said, the air has been sucked out of the building, and it looks like the Astros are looks like they're dialed in tonight, man, or today. It looks like they're literally putting their foot on their throat right now, and whether it's Maton or it's Stanek or it's the bats at the plate, it just seems like the Astros have been lights out today. And when they're lights out like this, they're going to be unbelievably difficult to beat, no doubt about it.
It is. Clint Sterner, Ron the Show, Hughley out at Kirby Alley's house. Get out here. You can check out a lot of the 610 crew. They're out here. And Clint and Tyler, listen, no matter how this – we'll see where this game continues, Greg. We said we're entering the eighth as the Astros are coming to the plate. I think the big thing that this game and the biggest moment right now in this game is – the Astros trailing 1-0 early in this game, two outs. Carlos Rodon was going, and Carlos Correa was at the plate, and you needed your big guy who's always coming up clutch in big moments to come up big. This is what he did.
0-2. Correa to left field. That will get down for a base hit. Altuve and Bregman will score, and the Astros take the lead. Correa with a two-run double in the third.
Big low set it again. The captain sets the table, and since then they have not given up the lead. And Clint, it'd be one thing when we talk about Pei Correa, because we both have been very clear from the jump where we stand on that Jim Crane needs to go and pay him. It'd be one thing if it was just, hey man, this guy's got great intangibles, but this dude's really good too. Like it's not just great intangibles. Like, that's a huge hole at shortstop defensively and offensively, coming up with the biggest hit time and time. He's got to be approaching hitting like 700 in the postseason right now. I mean, I'm not kidding. He's been on base three times today. Like, and he's coming up with huge hits. Yeah. It's everything with this guy. He is becoming the total package right now.
Well, yeah, look, I think there's no doubt about it. He's the total package. I mean, the question is, how good is he? And he's improving his stock as we speak. I mean, this guy, when you think he can't get any better, when you think he can't do any more to make you want to keep him in Astro long term, he goes out there and he's raking in the playoffs, at least in this first series. It's one of those things where, you know, he obviously, just flourishes in these kind of moments. I know this. It's hard for me to – not hard, because I can damn sure enjoy some good times.
Okay.
It is within the back of my head, thinking that this guy's not going to be an Astro long term, it's hard for me to celebrate all the successes he has, and he's having a lot of them here in this series.
And you've said it, he's going to make it hard on them. And this is what he's doing. And it's not just, oh, he's putting up great numbers. We've said it. Like – He tends to have moments that you remember, and he's done this twice in this series, coming up with huge two-run doubles to score runs to really put the first time he did it in game two, he put the game out of reach, and then this one he's given them the lead. And these are moments, these are numbers, it's everything, right? I think to be honest, I think he pulled Jake Myers out the game himself. Dusty was sitting there talking to him. Jake Myers played catch with him to see if his shoulder was all right. And then like Carlos walked up to him and put his arm around him and said, look, little pup, man, you ain't going to be able to hang in here, man. We got you. We're going to win this for you. And then Jake started to move towards the dugout. Dusty was walking along because Dusty wasn't convincing him. He played catch with Los. Los came over, put his arm around him and said, look, dog, you have to go and get off this field, man. We're going to win this for you. Get
That's
you iced
right.
up. But, I mean, it's just everything with this cat. And that is going to be on the back of the minds of Astros fans is, are we really not going to bring this dude back? Craziness. 6-1 here in the eighth. Clint Sterner, Ron, the Show, Hughley here with us. The Texans get ready to play against the Colts on Sunday. We talked about this last week, last Friday before the Patriots game. This is a big moment for David Culley, because right now, up to that point before Sunday's game, right? Would you agree? I think the players were buying the things he was selling. They were buying from training camp all the way up to the beginning of the season. You win against the Jags. You're very competitive against the Browns, pretty competitive with the starting new quarterback. I think everyone was buying everything that he was putting up. We heard everybody seeming to roll with David Culley. Then they had the game against Buffalo where you're like, hold on, man, this stuff ain't working. Then they have the game against the Patriots where they lose. And I know you said yourself you felt like this was a game that David Culley and his decisions helped in a major way lose this game. Where are they now? What is the thought process in that locker room right now after these last two performances by their head coach?
Well, I mean, I think they're in a tough spot. I mean, I think that you got to be questioning leadership at this point in time. I mean, because you throw into the mix the most recent report of Lonnie Johnson reportedly being thrown around in possible trades before the deadline. There's an interesting dynamic in this locker room right now with guys not feeling comfortable about being a Texan, guys not feeling comfortable about their job, guys not having a ton of confidence in David Culley in terms of being able to make the simple decisions on game day to put him in position to win ball games. And so I think the dynamic in that locker room right now is very, very interesting, to say the least.
No, as we talked about, they got blown out 40-0. We were sitting there saying, man, this is a chance he could lose this locker room. They have another performance
that.
They were very, very competitive against the Patriots. But it feels like his performance in that game, in terms of the players continuing to trust and buy into him, that may have been worse than what happened against the Bills. I mean, you've been there. Like, you can look on the sideline. There had to be multiple people sitting there on the punting. What are we doing with the punter decision? Let's do some sort of fakery, trickery stuff that got us in trouble with the field goal decisions, with at the end of the game. There had to have been a bunch of those veterans over there like, what the hell? Is he serious?
Yeah, look, here's the thing is, hell, David Culley came out and even said, you know, hey, we're going to sit down and watch this film together, and I'm going to tell everybody why I made the decisions or why I was right or what I should have done. That is a very interesting approach, because if I were David Culley, I would hope that they forgot about the poor decisions that I made the minute that they got off the field. So I think highlighting them is probably a bad idea with the football team. But there's no question about it. This veteran-laden football team, they watch that film, they experience the game, and they know that the head coach made several poor decisions. And it's not going to fare well for David Culley moving forward.
No, it's not, man. And we'll see what happens against the Colts, because I don't know how many more performances they're going to have in terms of playing as hard as they did, the way they did on Sunday with the losing and how it's happening. We'll have to see if that continues. Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley, as we're out here, the Astros still lead 6-1. Altuve gets on again, and Abreu almost rips his pants sliding into the grass as there's another runner in scoring position with Uncle Mike, Michael Brantley, coming to the plate with a chance to add and tack on more runs to this 6-1 lead in the eighth as the Astros look to try to advance to another ALCS. College football, real quick, Clint. This is your boy Lincoln Riley, the head coach for the Oklahoma Sooners. He says, when asked about the starting quarterback situation, he says, hey, we'll just see how it goes. Hasn't made a decision on who's going to be the starting quarterback. I remember seeing you and saying, there's no way Spencer Rattler is going to remain the quarterback after that comeback and what they did against Texas and Caleb Williams and what he did coming back in that game. Is he serious? Do you think there's a chance that he could go to Spencer Rattler?
Absolutely not. Look, here's the deal.
Talk about losing a locker room.
Well, here's the deal is you got – if you're Lincoln Riley and you load up with four-star and five-star quarterbacks year after year, and that's going to be your approach, right? Because to this point, Lincoln Riley's been gifted Baker Mayfield. He was gifted Kyler Murray. He was gifted Jalen Hurts. right? Now you're in a position where you got to recruit and develop a guy, Spencer Rattler, and it didn't work out, right? He's struggling mightily, and I think a lot of it's word on the street is a lot of it is intangible issues. And now you got a kid in Caleb Williams who's gone out there and balled out in the biggest game of the season and brought you back to a big-time victory. There is, if you're going to recruit these guys and you're going to stack them up one after another, four-star, five-star type of players, then you better have the guts, right? You better have the guts to bench one and make the other the starter when he proves that he's that guy, because that's just the responsibility that you have. It's the least you can do for your football team is when it comes down to it, you've got to make the difficult decisions. It's why you're paid all the money, and it's the first time at the quarterback position he's been faced with a decision that he's got to make I don't know it's going to lose the locker room, but it's definitely a decision that he's got to make that's a difficult decision, and it should go to Caleb Williams, no doubt about it.
I mean, their offense has appeared stagnant most of the year. Watching Oklahoma, it seemed like it was so difficult for them. When we would watch them and they would move with ease with those quarterbacks you just named, they would move with ease. That was the first time watching when Caleb Williams came in, we were like, oh, okay, this looks like, yeah, because he can run.
Yep.
He could throw. Like, that was the one thing I was thinking, well, maybe he just can't throw it well enough. No, he could throw it too. He made a couple of throws in that game where you're like, man, there's just no possible way that this team would react to, yeah, we're going to go back to Spencer. We're going to go back to Spencer after that. Like,
You've got a double-edged, not double-edged sword, but you got twofold here, right? You got Spencer Rattler, who it appears that the team is not responding to at all, and you got Caleb Williams, who comes in, and the 10 guys that are in the huddle with him, at the very least, if not everybody on the roster, responded in a major, major way in a monster moment, right? So it's one of those things where not only do you have a kid that's not performing well, you have a kid that the team's not responding to, and the kid you replaced him with is arguably more talented and definitely is the team's responding to in a major way. So I don't see how it's even a question. I do an SEC podcast with some guys and a college football podcast with some guys on Saturday night, and we all, Trevor Knight, Bryce Petty, George Whitfield, we all came together and said, hey, man, I don't know how you don't name Caleb Williams a dude.
Wow, Bryce Petty. Wasn't ready for Bryce Petty. It shouldn't even be a conversation. As soon as the fourth quarter was happening, I started saying, boy, I wonder where Spencer's going to transfer. That's exactly what I was thinking. Where is the school that Spencer's going to transfer?
Oh, I put it out there. I said if Jimbo Fisher hadn't called Spencer Rattler's mom and daddy, then something's wrong. Now, that was before they went and beat Alabama. So hindsight being 2020, I don't know if that's the good idea for Jimbo. But at the time, you damn right. I mean,
he's going somewhere.
We got two young five stars back to back. I don't know. Now you got two 5-stars next year and a quarterback that just beat Alabama. So now you definitely got a traffic jam. There's never anything bad about competition. I think Spencer Rattler definitely transfers, if not comes out and goes to the league as is.
All right. The latest here, another update here with the Houston Astros. It was 6-1 here in the eighth inning, but more has happened. They've added to their lead.
Chopper back up the middle, and another base hit for Brantley. Another one to score, Altuve.
Another huge add-on run right there.
Yep.
All right, Clint, it is now 7-1. 7-1. Craig Kimbrell just gave that one up. Altuve scores again because he's on base again, this time with an error, and he got to second base, stole third. And they're playing a little small ball. Look at you, boy. You must have. They've got a bunt over and a base hit.
Maldonado bunted him into scoring position earlier, and now all of a sudden you got stealing bases. And
they've stolen three
second,
or four bases
third.
Today. Yeah,
nice.
It's beautiful. Now, seriously, Clint, you've been here. It's the eighth inning. You're in Chicago. At what point are you grabbing the keys and saying, yeah, we got to go? If you're in Chicago right now, it's 7-1, the eighth inning. At what point are you grabbing the keys?
Oh, you're talking about leaving the game?
Yeah.
Oh, I've already left. I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and watch the Astros just drill me.
So you would have already been gone.
I'm gone.
Where do you think? At what point do you think you're?
I mean,
out?
They're still in base. I mean,
I haven't seen McGrannon's last time. Brantley with those sad those
Brantley,
knees.
Brantley, who you want to bench every time he hits a blade of grass wrong, just stole second base.
No.
I'm going home.
Please.
I'm out. If I hadn't left the stadium,
that would have done it. Michael Brantley, yes. Michael Brantley,
46
stealing.
Years old, just stole second base. Yeah, I'm out.
Oh, and I mean, look at the jump he got on cricket. He's looking back.
Well, I
got
to believe that was a hit and run, and somebody missed the sign, right?
No.
I mean, Brantley ain't stealing second.
He
He was Cadillacing.
He came. I don't.
The Strohs are running all over Grandal, man. He has no chance.
I mean, I don't know. Hit and run with Breckman? I don't know. He's always been slow to the plate. That's Kimbrel, isn't it? He's always been slow to the plate. And I think they're just taking advantage of it. And they're gonna,
wait a minute. I mean, that had to be a missed sign. It was Brantley, bro. And he was looking back Cadillacing halfway to second. Like, that's not. That couldn't be it.
I don't think it was. I think it's a straight steal. By the way, I think the White Sox are going to get mad. Let's
start throwing it, folks.
Let's make sure we see this. You know how baseball gets. It's 7-1, and Michael Brantley, who I'd like to know when the last time he's attempted a stolen base this year. Michael Brantley is stealing bases at 7-1 in the eighth inning. With Bregman at the play and Alvarez coming behind him. Like, we could see some silliness potentially with the White Sox, because you know they're mad. You know they're upset. Yeah, I'd have left this puppy around the six. As soon as it got to 6-1, I'm out. I'm grabbing my keys and I'm getting out of here. I'm beating traffic. I'm not about to sit here and have to deal with this garbage, to watch them have to just my team just get their asses kicked in here. I'm not buying another
Brantley,
beer, because you know at this point
he's had one stolen base on the year show.
Was that it?
No.
Nope. That brings him
that
to two.
That was his second. He must be feeling real good out of here, man. If Jordan gets on base and they go double steal, then we know it's going crazy. Then we know it's going crazy. All right. We'll continue here. We're live out here. Kirby Ice House. Come join us as the celebration feels near. We'll continue to update you on this game between the Astros and White Sox. And there is news on one of the young players for the Texans. One of the young players that you thought may be promising potentially could be out of here. We'll discuss that next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.